Greetings, my Kardec Radio friends, from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
Today we will start Chapter 7 from the Spirits book by Allan Kardec, The Return to Corporeal Life. Today's journey covers Preludes to the Return, answering questions 330 to 340.
Enjoy.
Question 330. Do spirits know the time when they will have to reincarnate?
They can sense it like a blind man who feels the fire he is approaching. They know they must return to a body, just as you know you must die someday, but without knowing when it will happen.
See number 166. Subquestion 330. Is reincarnation therefore a necessity of spirit life, as death is a necessity of corporeal life?
Yes, it is.
Question 331. Do all spirits concern themselves with their approaching reincarnation?
There are those who never give it a thought, who do not even comprehend it. It depends on the degree of their advancement. For some, uncertainty about their future life is a punishment.
Question 332. Can spirits hasten or delay the moment of their reincarnation?
They may hasten it through strong desire. They may also delay it if they recoil from the upcoming trial, since among spirits there are cowardly and indifferent ones. However, they do not delay it with impunity. They will suffer for it, like those who refuse the medicine that can restore them to health.
Question 333. If a spirit felt quite happy in an average situation among discarnate spirits and had no ambition to evolve, could it prolong its errant state indefinitely?
No, not indefinitely. Advancement is a necessity, and spirits sense it sooner or later. All must evolve. It is their destiny.
Question 334. Is the union of a soul with a particular body predestined, or is the choice made at the last moment?
The spirit is always designated beforehand. In choosing the trial it wishes to undergo, the spirit asks to reincarnate, and God, who sees and knows everything, sees and knows beforehand that a particular soul will unite with a particular body.
Question 335. Does a spirit have the right to choose the body it will enter, or does it only choose the kind of life that will serve as its trial?
It may also choose its body because the body's imperfections will be the trials that will help its advancement if it overcomes the obstacles it encounters thereby. This choice is not always up to the spirit, but it may at least ask for it.
Subquestion 335. At the last moment, can a spirit refuse to enter the body that it has chosen?
If it refuses it, it will suffer much more than one who had not undertaken a new trial in the first place.
Question 336. Could it happen that there might be no spirit who is willing to incarnate in a particular unborn child?
God would provide for this. When a child is to be born alive, it is always predestined to have a soul. Nothing is created without a design.
Question 337. Can the union of a spirit with a particular body be imposed by God?
Such a union may be imposed in the same way as the spirit's other trials, especially when it is not yet able to make a conscious choice about the matter. Moreover, as an expiation, a spirit may be compelled to unite with the body of a particular child who, by its birth and the position it will have in the world, may become a means of punishment for that spirit.
Question 338. If it just so happened that several spirits presented themselves to occupy the same body, how would the decision be made among them?
Many could very well request the same body, but in such cases it is God who decides which one is best suited to fulfill the mission for which the child is destined. But, as I have already said, the spirit is designated before the instant in which it is to join the body.
Question 339. Is the moment of incarnation accompanied by a state of confusion similar to the one following discarnation?
The confusion is much greater and especially much longer. At death, a spirit escapes slavery. At birth, it enters it.
Question 340. Is the moment of incarnation a solemn one for the spirit? Does it accomplish it as something serious and important?
The spirit is like a traveler embarking on a dangerous voyage, not knowing if he will meet death on the waves ahead.
Author's remarks for question 340. Travelers who set out on a voyage are aware that they will be exposed to dangers, but they do not know if they will run aground. The same applies to a spirit. It knows the kind of trials to which it will be submitted, but does not know if it will fail. Just as the death of the body is a kind of rebirth for the spirit, reincarnation is a kind of death, or rather a kind of exile and confinement. It leaves the spirit world for the corporeal world, just as, after having been a human being, it leaves the corporeal world for the world of spirits. A spirit knows that it will reincarnate just as a human being knows that he or she will die. Like humans, however, the spirit only becomes aware of it at the last moment, when the appointed time has arrived. Then, in that supreme moment, confusion takes hold of it, similar to someone in the throes of death. This confusion lasts until the new existence is firmly established. Thus, the commencement of reincarnation is a kind of death throes for the spirit.